Thank you for tuning in today as we come very near the end of our discussion of Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and the temptations the devil gave to Jesus our Lord. Christ triumphantly resisted them all. And we will finish this tomorrow. And then for the next 2 weeks, so the final weeks of the month of August, I've reached back into the God Is archives and found the interview I did with Dr. Brent Fulton from Hong Kong in the fall of last year. August 19 through 30, I will be airing that again here on God Is. We'll talk about what God is doing in the nation of China. Those of you listening on KDIA in San Francisco will be hearing this for the first time. And many of you in New England and via the podcast have not heard it yet either. And for those of you who have, listen again. God is doing mighty ministry in China, and you should know about it. Invite someone to tune in with you. So be sure and be here for God Is tomorrow, and then again for the next 2 weeks as we close out the summer together. On Labor Day, I will have a special broadcast, and then we will return to the life of Christ and continue to ask, what does Jesus teach us about God? Really, you do not want to miss a day together. And so I hope that you'll plan to have the radio on and or download the free podcast and keep up to date with our ongoing quest to know who God is. When we left off yesterday, we were in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 9. Let me get this back on the forefront of your mind, and then I'll tell you about the two parts of this verse. Hear now God's holy word to you on this Thursday from Matthew 4, verse 9. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." We've split this into two parts. Part 1, "All these things I will give you." And part 2, "If you fall down and worship me." You will remember, if you were here last time, that it took us over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 6, to enhance our perspective on what the devil is saying to Jesus. Let me quote again Luke 4, verse 6. And the devil said to Jesus, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." And I told you that there is something very true about the evil one's statement to Christ. There is an evil system that rules this world, and the devil is its head. Within the sovereign limits of God, the devil has been given a jurisdiction, and you and I feel the effects of this every single night and day. Listen to 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That was 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. Until God takes it back, and he will, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And all you have to do is read or watch just a few moments of the news, or talk to your neighbors and colleagues, and you will know this is true. Just look around. If you're in the States, think of the culture of violence that has now plummeted the country into deep fear. There is an evil, perhaps once held just below the surface, that has now burst forth to confront each and every one of us, and especially our families and our kids. When we go back to Matthew 4, verse 9, we hear the devil bring this up to Jesus. And that was what I wanted to say about part 1 of verse 9, which was also a summary of what was said on the last broadcast and podcast. Now let's move into part 2 of verse 9. The devil continues, "If you fall down and worship me." Herein lies the nuts and bolts of the temptation. Here is purpose. 1, fall down, and 2, worship me. The action fall down is reminiscent of how the Magi or the wise men responded to Jesus when he was born and they came to worship the Lord. Listen, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That was Matthew 2:11. Did you heard it? The wise men fell to the ground and worshipped Jesus. Well, then, Satan is reversing it. He's saying, "Jesus, you fall down to me." Using the same Greek word, Matthew tells us that the devil wants Jesus to fall down to him in the same way the wise men, the Magi, fell down before Jesus. And the devil adds, second, worship me. The devil attacks boldly with a master plan. He knows what he wants to do, and he is always on the offense. Imagine what would have happened had Jesus worshipped the devil in this moment. Had the Lord given in, he would not have been our Savior from sin. As Christians, we would be without Christ, and the wrath of God would still abide on us for our sin. We shudder to think of Jesus, who is God in human flesh, bowing in worship before the devil. But we can quickly dismiss such a thought. It is useless to imagine it because it never happened. It will not happen. Jesus is sovereign. Satan is not sovereign. I say it again, Jesus is sovereign. Satan is not sovereign. Only Jesus is worthy of worship. Satan will bow. His demons will bow, just as every human will bow before King Jesus. In temptation number 3, the devil tries to get Jesus to worship him. He fails miserably. But the evil one does not always fail with us, does he? And of course, this is true outside of the Christian church, out there in the pagan society and culture within which we live. It does not matter where you are hearing this message today. From wherever you may be, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you and I are surrounded by people who worship the devil. And you can name, oh yes, Mark, you must be talking about the folks from the Church of Satan. Well, hold on. While there really is a Church of Satan and a community of Satan worshipers that thrive on the internet, and while there really are people that make sacrifices to the devil and revere him, I'm not going out to that extreme. I'm speaking of how our adversary has so intertwined himself in the culture that people who are spiritually blind do not even realize that they regularly honor him. And I must say, in this regard, I'm particularly concerned about young people, even children. The kind of messaging that is sent through music, video games, television, internet, and film is more than alarming. It is straight from hell. And I know I am not overreacting. This summer, I have had substantive conversations with some teenagers who are not Christians and whose parents are quote-unquote good people, but who have no reverence for the living God. And they've just handed over the mobile devices to their teens without any parental controls or consent needed for the content these young men and women are devouring. My heart breaks for one 10-year-old I know who believes the messages he is being sent on Instagram. What he is particularly susceptible to is the lie that one decides one's own gender according to your free will later in life, and that birth gender was simply assigned and is always up for debate. The boy is 10. 10. That's satanic messaging, and I pray for him. And we could stay on this a while, but since most of you listening to me right now are Christians, or claim to be, let's turn the spotlight on ourselves. It seems to me that many professing Christians are living right on the edge of switching alliances from God to the devil by how they live. That is, by the lifestyle many Christians have, it shows that our values are not that different than the world's, and the devil loves this. As he did with Jesus, the devil comes to us and he says, "With me, you can have all that you want. Money? I can get you that. Fame and popularity? Oh yes, just turn on your phone, flip it into selfie mode, and post those risque photos of yourself online. You'll be famous fast. So popular. Success? Do things my way, follow my example, and you will be successful, all right. Like at work. I'll give you all the prestige and power you could ever want. I've done it for others. Look at them. They've got it made. Don't you want some of that?" And so many Christians give right into these temptations, and others like it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, there's a potent statement made by Christ that ought to be like a wooden 2x4 to the face of the Christian. Do you know this? Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." What are we to seek first? What are we after, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? What is our passion? He, not what? He, God's kingdom, God's righteousness. We are not seeking what the world is seeking. We are not to live like they live. Everyone, including ourselves, must feel, know, experience the distance between us and them in terms of what we value, honor, and hold dear to us. But my experience talking honestly with and observing believers is that often there is no difference between our lifestyles and the lifestyles of people who claim not to follow Jesus, and this is sin. We must be quick to seriously repent of it and make changes to our lifestyles. And so you follow me closely, let me put some questions to you that I pray will be as convicting to you as they have been to me and other Christians I know. When everyone else comes into the office in the morning and is talking about last night's television show and how awesome it is, are you able to get right in the middle of them and keep up with the conversation, affirming what your eyes, mind, and heart have consumed? Did you know as much about Game of Thrones as they did? When there is a job opening higher up the ladder at your company in the corporate office, are you as likely as someone who doesn't love Jesus to stab a colleague in the back to get it? In exchange for more money and even more wealthy lifestyle, are you willing to spend more time than your family can bear at the office, working late again? Are you willing to move to another part of the country and let your wife be damned if she tries to stop you? For you, does it always have to be better cars, bigger homes, and grander vacations? When you went to the beach this summer, did you bring a novel with you high in violence and inappropriate sexual content? Think seriously about this. Are you fitting in just fine in the times in which we live? What do you want? Satan says you can have it his way. Are you willing to exchange your soul for what he can give you? Or does Matthew 6, verse 33 define you instead? Will you resist the temptation to bow and worship the devil as Jesus did? Think soberly on this. And when you come back tomorrow, we'll see how Jesus responds to the devil in Matthew 4, verse 10. Then we'll look at verse 11 and complete this section of Matthew's gospel. We do all of this tomorrow right here. And pray for my voice. I'm losing it. We do all of this tomorrow right here on God Is.